We start to talk about the world today. You look at the world, you got an election coming up. People are tired of the change that never came, and they want real change this time, and there's problems in the world, and there's sinfulness in the world, and you look at the world today around you, and people see that the world is full of hatred, it's full of violence, it's full of sinfulness, and they look at the world today, and some people look at it and embrace it, and they say, you know, if you're going to live out in the world today, you've got to be just as cutthroat as the next person. It's a dirty game. You've got to be just as dirty as the next guy. And you got to, because nice guys finish last. So they say. You got other people out there, though, that look at the world. They see the world around you. They see the hatred, the violence, the sinfulness that is all around us, that's so abundant and prevalent in our society. And they look at it and they say, where can we go? Where's a spot of rest? Where can I go that's different than the rest? And we get to talk about loving one another. And Brother Britt Doughty on the 20th gave a lesson over love, but it's not necessarily the same concept. If we were to give maybe a subtitle to the lesson, it would be that of forgiving one another. Love one another and forgive one another. We talked about the world and how it's full of hatred and violence and sinfulness, and people looking at the world today and they see it and they say, where can I go? You got all this hatefulness around us. Do they look at the church today? Do they look at the church and say, there's a sanctuary? There's some place that I can go that I can escape the hatefulness of the world. There's some place that I can go that can embrace me in love and kindness. There's somewhere that's not like the rest of the world. Or do they go into the church and they see corruption? They see people fighting one another. They see, oh, this group sitting with that group and that one separating from that one. Do they see fighting, bickering, and murmuring and complaining? What do they see whenever someone looks inside the church? Not everyone is looking for a way out of the sinful world. People embrace it. They love it. They say, this is what I love. I love the world, people. Strange people out there, yeah, I understand. But there are some people that don't want that. They want a way of escape from that. And so we get to talking about the love that we have for one another, and do people see that whenever they come in here? Where can they find the sanctuary? Do they find it at the church? In John chapter 13... In verse 34, the Bible tells us, or Jesus rather says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, men shall know that you are my disciple if you love one another. How are people going to know that we're his disciples, that we love one another? How are people going to see that love in us? Jesus talking, and I highlighted it for us, where he says, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another. Well, what was the old commandment? I figure if we want to know the difference between the old commandment to see what the new commandment is, then we need to look at it. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 18 there, he says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord God, or I am the Lord. Jesus was the Lord, and he had come down to earth, and they're talking with his disciples, talking about loving one another. Talking to his disciples and saying, you need to love one another. And we look back at the old law and we see Jesus, or rather back in the Levitical time there, that law of love was to go out and you were to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus would go on whenever he was tempted of the Pharisee who would come to him and say, what's the great commandment in the law? Jesus would say in verse 37 of Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. He would say, the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we were able to just complete those two commandments in the law, all of the rest of the commandments would hang upon those two. Just the love that we're supposed to have. We talked about being a disciple this morning. If we were going to be a disciple of Jesus, how would we do that? By this, all men would know that you're my disciple, that you love one another. We see the old commandment wasn't just too far off from what the new commandment was. What was the new commandment? Let's look at that again. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, all men should know that you're my disciple, if you have love one to another. How were people going to know that you were his disciple? The love that you have for one another. It was no longer a love your neighbor as yourself, but it was love as I have loved you. It was the new commandment was a higher standard. There was a higher standard involved. Isaiah would say in Isaiah 55 and 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways were higher than ours. His standards higher than ours. His standard of love was higher than ours. Jesus identifying this and saying, the new commandment that I got is not any longer that you love your neighbor as yourself. No, I don't want you to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to love your neighbor as I loved you. You get to thinking about the love that Jesus had for us. The compassion that he had for us. The mercy that he had for us. Willing to go to the cross of Calvary to die for us, to suffer for us. All the things that he was willing to do, he did it because he loved us. A much higher standard than what we had. I went blank. Jesus would go on to say, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, there it is again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. That's good. I don't know why I never caught on to it. In all my reading and all my studying of looking at that particular scripture, I don't know why that never really popped out to me. I had it on paper form too, so I mean, I knew where I was going, I guess, but thanks for it. I don't know why I never caught on to that. You know, I always read it, love your neighbor as yourself, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And I always looked at that's the kind of love that I'm supposed to have, and I never really paid attention to that new commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love, he would say, that has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. You are all my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for you. To die for your sins. To die for my sins. The type of love that he had. It was a love that wasn't just a love of just, Joe, I love you, man. I'm glad you're holding down the fort over there. I love you. It's not just a spoken word. It was a love that was coupled with action. Britt pointed that out while he was doing his lesson. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How are we to love? Not just in word, not just by saying, I love you. I always had the hardest time saying that word. Someone say, oh, I love you. I'll be like, you too. I mean, even if it was just over the phone and we weren't person to person, I'd be like, yeah, that's cool. No, really. I had a hard time using just that word to express it. It's a hard expression, I think. Especially if you're really supposed to mean it. I mean, and the type of love that you're supposed to have is not just a verbal love. It's a love coupled with action that you're there for someone whenever they're down. You can help them whenever they're in need. You have the ability and the time, and maybe you don't have the time, but you do it anyway because you love them. You care for them. We would look at God's love for us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We look at that. That was a love that was coupled with action. I love you so much. I love the world so much. I love these sinful little creatures so much that I'm going to send my Son down for them. That's how much love I have for them. A love coupled with action. It was a love so strong that he was willing to forgive the people that were doing bad things, that was sinning against him. And that's where the forgiveness comes into it at, you see. He loved us so much that he was willing to forgive us. But you hear time to time, you talk to people. And something happened so many years ago, and I just can't let it go. You wouldn't believe what he did to me. I mean, that dirty dog, if only you knew the things that he did so many years ago in my life, I can't let it go. Why can't you? Love forgives sins. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. If we really love somebody, why can't we forgive them? Is it because we don't have that type of love that Jesus talked about? The type of love that you love them as I have loved you, that type of love. The type of love that would be willing to go to the cross instead of someone else. The characteristics of love I take from the American Standard only because I didn't have the New King James on my computer. I realize I could have got it from Bible Gateway, but I used eSword on this. He says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not provoked, takes not account of evil. Rejoice not in unrighteousness, but rejoice with the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, endures all things. The characteristics of love that as a Christian we would do well to adapt and to apply to our life. We talk about growing as a Christian. We look at the fruit of the Spirit and we start thinking about, I'm supposed to grow in grace and peace and all these things. But what about love? Aren't I supposed to grow in my love toward my fellow brethren? Aren't I supposed to grow in love for those who have done me wrong? I got an example for us here. It's not a very good example, so bear with me. We just kind of go on kind of the fly whenever we get to this part of the lesson, okay? We can make this up as we go. You see A over here, that fella. Same one as on that side, but you see A has a problem with C because C a long time ago did something to A. Or something like that. I mean, that's what the problem boils down to, you see. It doesn't really mean nothing. But you got D who has a problem with J, and E who has a problem with C, and before long B gets entangled into it because everyone else is already fighting. No, I can't repeat that. Here's what it all boils down to. A's mad at C, J's mad at D, E and B are, it's just a big mess. Well, they sinned against me. Don't you see it? See, why are you on his side? Are you taking up for B now? What, don't you know what he did to D? And before long, they start to fight and split and divide and the whole thing just gets really messy. But every single one of them have something in common. Sure, they all sinned against each other. Fine, that's dandy and everything, but they also all sinned against God. That's really the big picture there. Every one of them are worried about, hey, he did me wrong. No, C did me wrong. D did me wrong. E, J, whoever it was did me wrong. But they're not looking at the fact that they did God wrong. Every one of them. Now, forget A, B, C, D, E, and J. Yeah, forget them. Just start putting your picture there. You just replace your name with the one of them little stick figures. Put them there. You see, because the same concept applies to you and I may do something wrong against you, or you may do something wrong against me. But both of us have done something wrong against God, and both of us are in need of forgiveness, and we both hope that God will forgive us, yet at the same time we can't forgive each other. I want forgiveness, but I'm not willing to forgive. Matthew 18 and verse 21, he says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Some people have done the math for me, said Jason. That's not 77 times. No, that's 490 times. And you know, he sinned against me more than 490 times and I won't forgive him no more. Okay. Weird. Oh, how often shall God forgive you? You see, the problem is all have sinned and come short the glory of God. That's the problem. How many, what's that magic number that God says, now Sean, I'm telling you, that's 489. One more time, and that, no more forgiveness. Do we keep count? He would say in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, all of us are in need of God's forgiveness because we've all sinned. And I tell you what, 2015, we all survived 2015 if we're sitting here right now. How many of us, since the new calendar year 2016 has rolled over, have we sinned? How many of you have sinned since 2016 has started? Any of you? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. That's fine. How many times shall I sin against God and God forgive me? If God forgives, we should forgive. You see, He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We also ought to forgive one another. Now, maybe I should have added this in, as a slide. I thought about this. We get to worrying about that magic number of 70 times 7. And if He sins one more time against me, I won't sin. If we've been loving and forgiving the whole time as God loved and forgave, would we have been keeping score? After I said, oh, you sinned against me, that's fine, that's Dan, I forgive you. And I'm over here saying, there, that's one. Did I forgive you? I just now wrote it down so I could remember that you sinned against me. And now I'm keeping score. That's five. You know, you got your little sticks going and 5, 10, 15, all the way up to however much it is. God wasn't worried about the number, okay? Don't pay attention to the number wasn't that. It was the willingness. The willingness to always forgive. It wasn't a number. You see, because if you're forgiven, you're not keeping score of how many times they sinned against you. There's no numbers there. God doesn't have His little lightning bolt pen out going on a stone tablet. 1, 2. Mm-mm. Whenever He said He was going to forgive, He was going to forgive and remember our sins against us no longer. Jesus, whenever He taught us to pray about our forgiveness. He said, Matthew 6:12, the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some translations would say, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. However you want to look at it, forgive one another. And He would say in verse 14 there, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you, also forgive you of your trespasses. In verse 15 He would say, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Have you ever considered maybe or saw on a video or maybe been in the presence of a courtroom where something heinous, some atrocity has happened? And the person, a survivor maybe of some horrific event, stands up before a person that has committed a great crime in this court of law and stands before him and looks at him in the eye and says, I forgive you for what you've done. I get to thinking about that with my family. You know, someone comes in, kills my family, or does something terrible like that. Could I stand there on the day in that courtroom as they've given the sentence to this person and stand there in my remarks to them and say, I forgive you? Jesus, while He was on the cross, And as the people were killing him, crucifying him, mocking him, if you're the Son of God, save yourself, you know. You saved others, himself he can't save. As they began to mock him and challenge his deity as he was on the cross, what held him on the cross? The love that he had for us. So lastly, the very last passage to look at here is in 1 John. And he says in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. It's a really easy commandment. It boils down to love and forgiveness. They say, someone said, Jason, well, how can I forgive him for it? I said, you love him? Yeah, I love him. The amount of love that you have for that person will determine how easily you can forgive them for what you did, for what they've done. If you truly love them, not as yourself, oh no, because we're no longer under that as yourself law. You see, we're under a new commandment. Love them as I have loved you. Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to go to the cross to be crucified, to shed his blood, to pay for your sins, to pay for mine. That was the amount of love that he had. Stephen, as he was there, you know, crying out to the Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus, in the same manner, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Jesus, praying for forgiveness, begging for forgiveness. For you and for me, because he loved us. And if we love one another today, we're going to forgive one another. We're not going to hold any grudges. I'm not aware of any grudge that anyone has in here against one another. If someone was to come in from the outside world today into our church and say, you know, I'm looking for a sanctuary, a place of escape, what are they going to see today? Are they going to see the love? I believe that they are. There's a lot of love in this building for each other. I know that. I've been on the receiving end of people helping me out before because they care for me. They didn't have to help me. Maybe you have too. You understand the love. And it's evident to people whenever they come in. And that is such a great testimony to people in the world whenever they can go in and find that sanctuary that they've been looking for so long. It all starts with love, and it's loving on a higher standard than what we loved before.